pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you ever feel alone in that you're not sure that you're the best person you can be, we can look to the Bible and find great company, can't we? We look to the Bible and we find not those who are the best among the best. We look to the Bible and find people just like us. Just like us, those who question whether they have it all together, question whether they've got it all figured out, and just when they start to think they've got it all figured out, God reminds them that they don't. None of this is a bad thing because it's a picture of humanity, and that's what we are. And so as we read stories like this, and sometimes we tend to skip over stories like this, we read this and we see in it, we see the image of people struggling to understand how it is they could possibly give out of thanks and appreciation for all that God has done, is doing, and will do, and all that God has provided. How could they possibly give in proportion to that? And that's what we're talking about as we look at this topic of stewardship. Stewardship not just of our finances, but stewardship of all things, all that we do, all the time we have, all of the, and when I say all the time I have, notice I'm not saying free time that we have, but all of the time that we have, 24 hours each day. Stewardship of all things. And so all throughout Scripture, including here in Chronicles, they're struggling with how do we be good stewards? How do we use all that God has given us? Because none of it is ours. All of it is God's. And so how do we use it in thanks and praise for all that God has done, will do, and has done, and do so proportionally? Well, Scripture gives us actually a really good foundation for that, and Scripture says 10%. Another way of saying it is the word tithe. Tithe, which means 10%, is to offer back 10% of all that we have to God as a way of showing appreciation, thanks, and praise to God for all that God has offered us to be good stewards of. It's not a gimmick come up with by churches to make sure that we can fund things. It's in Scripture that we find the command to give 10%, and not just any 10%, right? So we look to Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy, it tells us that we're to take the first what? The first fruits of our labor. And so if you can imagine the basket of fruit that's collected as they're out in the fields, whatever grapes or whatever it may be that they've gone out and picked, the first fruits would be what's right off the top, right? And so you imagine this basket of grapes or of olives or whatever it may be, the stuff on the top is the freshest. It's the best. It's not crushed by the weight of the other grapes or olives. It's the best stuff, right? And when you get to the bottom, you start to find the fruit that has begun to crack and to open up, and it's, you know, maybe it's the apple down at the bottom that got smushed because it just had too much weight on it and things like that. If we give to God in response to all that God has given us, the first fruits off the top, then what we have is an appreciation for everything that comes after that. And so we give first to God the first fruits, not the what's left stuff, but the first fruits. And then after that, we begin to say, okay, how do I take care of the needs? Not the wants that we disguise as needs, but the needs, the things that keep us cared for, that keep our family cared for, that keep us housed, that keep us fed, those kinds of things. I made the comment a couple of weeks ago that if our golf budget is bigger than our grocery budget, we may have things out of skew, right? And Clint was quickly to correct me that sometimes golf is important. But we start to see how things fall into place, and then what's left is not going to God. What's left is what we use for our lives, for the fruitfulness of living. That's where our golf budget comes from. If you don't play golf, you're sitting there going, good, $1 is enough, right? If you play golf, you might be a little concerned, but you'll figure it out. But you see, when we give to God first, that's what really begins to set things in motion in a good way. So I talked at the beginning of the service during announcements about the white envelope. Many of you got one of these as you left. How many of you picked one of these up as you left last week? Raise your hand. Raise my eye. I got to make sure. All right, so if you did not pick one of these up, make sure you get one before you leave today. And in here are a couple of things that are going to help you along the way. There's a letter. There's a chart in here that might help you with if you're not good at math like me. But there's another thing in here, and this is the commitment card. Note that I'm not saying pledge card. Pledge has a connotation of a bill, doesn't it? We pledge that we're going to pay something, and so we feel like we're paying a bill, right? How many of you like to pay bills? Okay, nobody. Good. But commitment is a different story, isn't it? Commitment says that I am committing something. There's a degree of devotion to it. And that's what giving a tithe is it's a devotion. It's a spiritual discipline. In fact, when we list spiritual disciplines, we list giving as one of them. It helps us to align our finances. One of the things that we name is most important to us, our finances, it helps us to align that with our spirituality. So imagine if we decided that it was never important to pray. How in line would our spirituality be? Shake your heads no, right? If we decided that we were never going to come to church again, that we were gonna just sit at home and watch whatever televangelist came on, and please don't do that. That's a whole other sermon topic. But how in tune would our spirituality be? Shake your head, right? When we fail to give, and I realize it's a hard thing to do. We're going to talk about that next week, about why it's hard and that it's hard. And that there's times when we stumble and fall, and that's okay because that's why we do it every year. We recommit ourselves to giving. And at times we recommit ourselves to giving increased amount because we're able to. Because the moment that we begin to feel comfortable in our spiritual disciplines is probably the moment God's saying, come on, do more. You can do more. You can go further. You can push yourself further. Again, I'm not just talking about finances, but all spiritual disciplines that help us grow stronger in our faith, closer to God. If we start off praying 10 minutes a day, that's good. That's a good place to start. But after a while, we could probably push it to 15, don't you think? And then we could probably eventually push it to 20, and we could probably eventually push it to 2 times a day, and then eventually we could probably push it to 3, and build up because we grow stronger. Any athlete will tell you that you don't sit around and lift 5-pound weights your whole life. You want to build up, and you want to grow and grow stronger. And that's what spiritual disciplines are all about, and that's what giving is all about. And so on this commitment card, it gives some information. It says, beginning in 2017, so starting in January 1st, I commit myself to giving a financial offering out of love and thanksgiving. Not out of because my pastor said so. Not out of because our budget is $208,000, but because of joy and thanksgiving and love, I commit to giving a financial offering. And it gives you a space to write in what that is. And maybe you'd prefer to give weekly. Maybe you prefer to give monthly. If you're new to giving, I'm going to encourage weekly because it helps you get in that habit. If it's easier for you to give monthly, I understand that, and there's ways to do that. Then place your name on here. Let us know who you are. And the reason we do that, again, is because imagine if you were to become a member of this church and you take the vows of membership that tell that you're going to, about your gifts, your presence, your service, your witness, you're going to share your lives with this congregation, and yet we have no idea who you are. We have no idea what your name is, your middle name, your last name. We have no idea who you are. How are we ever possibly going to encourage you in that endeavor? If you tell me that you want to be prayed for, but yet you don't tell me your name, it's kind of hard to hold you in prayer, isn't it? And so as we fill this out, please write your name. This is kept confidential. We're not going to go share this with everybody. We're not going to make a list of who gives what to share out with the congregation, but this is so that we know who you are, and so we can pray for you as you're taking on this endeavor, because if anyone thinks this is easy, again, shake your head no, it's not easy. It takes work, it takes patience, it takes falling down, and it takes getting back up. I say that from personal experience. I say it from experience of watching others and caring for others. It takes time and energy just like any other discipline. And so as you fill this out, prayerfully consider, not just saying that you've prayerfully considered, but prayerfully consider. Look at what you spend. Look at your budget. Look at your income. And spend some time prayerfully considering what your gift is going to be. My hope, my goal, is to have cards in return from every single member of this congregation. Every single member of this congregation. If you're a couple and you're doing this together, great. Put both your names on here. If you'd like to do it individually as a couple, you can do that too. Whatever works for you. But my goal is to have every one of us doing this, because churches that give, members that give, grow stronger in their faith. Do you believe me? Nod your heads up and down. It works. It happens. It happens. We're going to talk more about what that commitment feels like next week. We're going to spend some time talking about why it's hard and that it's hard. But this week, take this home. If you've got it home already, take a look at it. If you forgot where you put yours, take another one. We'll print more. And spend some time prayerfully considering what your gift's going to be. Come with it next week. Bring it with you next week. If you forget it at home, if you put it on the fridge with every intent to bring it, and you forget it, don't not come. Come, we'll have another one for you. I'll print these all day long if we need to. And then we're going to have a time of commitment, a time of sharing with God. Again, this is not about impressing others. This is not about showing everybody else what we give. It's about going to God and offering the first fruits of our labor. The stuff that's right off the top, the best part. And thanks and praise for all that God is, has been, and will be in our lives. That's part one of the sermon. Part two is this green form. Everyone take this green form out. If you didn't get one, put your hand up. We'll make sure, Susan, if you make sure someone that doesn't have one gets one. Everyone hold it up in the air, nice and high. Make sure you got one. Okay, anybody still need one? Holler. All right, we all did good. Okay. So, this is real simple. This is an interactive sermon. Y'all ready? You thought you were just going to come and listen. This is interactive. All right, so everyone take a look at the first side that has numbers 1 through 10 listed. And this is your assignment right now. We're going to take about 2 minutes to do this. If you've already done it, great. You're ahead of the game. If you haven't, you're still on target. List the top, it doesn't have to be the top, list 10 items, things that you own, big or small, expensive or cheap, that you use most often in your life. If you need some starters, I'll give you my list. Car, phone, laptop, bottles, wallet, bed, Bible, refrigerator, stroller, and I put an asterisk next to it because we don't actually own it. You own it, the parsonage, but something we use all the time. Take about 2 minutes and go ahead and fill this out. And then we'll take a look at that. You don't have to share these. You don't have to shout them out. But go ahead and just list down your top 10. Should have had elevator music or something ready to go. As you finish, go ahead and hold your green card up. If you can't come up with 10, try your best. All right, let's take 10 more seconds. Five, four, my seconds are very long. Three, two, one and a half, one. Okay, so as many as you get on there, great. You can always add to it later. Now what we're going to do is turn it over. And you're going to see on the back there are three spaces with some lines in between. On those three spaces, take the ones that you wrote on the front and write the top most used things. The top most used things. Again, these aren't necessarily the most expensive things, but the top most used things. For example, for me, I would put probably bottles on that list. We use those all the time. But I would also probably put car on there. Perhaps bed, thankfully. Now, when you have those top three things, go ahead and hold your card up. Ah, see, this goes faster now, doesn't it? All right, 10 more seconds. Or whatever I decide to count to. Five, four, three, two, one. Okay, good. So everyone's got their three on there. Now, in between the spaces, you don't have to do anything yet. That's your homework. So what we're going to do is begin by talking about what those three things are. Again, I said you're not going to be required to share them, but you're going to have an opportunity to if you would like to in just a second. So I want you to begin thinking. This is what our task is going to be. This is what our homework is going to be. Is how we can take those top three things that we own. Because remember, we may have them in our possession and we may own them financially, but whose are they really? God's, right? Because everything is God's. Everything before us, everything that's in our pockets, everything that's in our wallets, everything that's in our accounts, everything that is in our homes is God's, not ours. And so we're going to take some time to think about how we can use those top three things that we own, most used things, for God's purpose, to be good stewards of them. And so we're going to do this in a little bit of a practice way. Who would like to share their number one thing? Anyone? Yeah, Jill. Car. Okay. So car. How many of you have car as your number one? All right. As number two? Number three? Okay. So many of us have car on our top three list, right? So we can all relate to that. So we've got the one thing that many of us own, many of us use a lot. Who would like to share another number one? House. Okay. How many of you have house as number one, two, or three? All right. So many of us, right? Who else would like to share one? Cell phone. All right. All right, a quilting machine. All right. How many of you have quilting machine as number one, two, or three? Just Helen? Okay. All right. So we're starting to build up our list of things that are number one, two, or three. What else do we have? TV. What else is a number one on your list? What? Stove. Amen. All right, stoves. So maybe we'll say kitchen appliances. Does that work? Okay. Okay. Let's get two more. What else is the number one for people? Essential oils. I like that one. Oh, we got a lot coming up here, don't we? Furniture. Food, that's a good one. All right, so we've got a lot of number ones. We're just going to start with what we've got up here. So let's take the probably the most common one on here, and we'll call it house or apartment or a place of living, okay? Whatever that may be for anybody. So a place of living. Now let's think out loud here, and we'll raise a hand so we can hear each other. But what are some ways that we could use our places of living, our homes, our apartments, or things like that, as good stewards and use that for God? What are some ways? Pat. Okay. To host people, to host people for meals or for whatever it may be, right? Or to sleep, things like that. What else? Yeah. Okay. To make it a sacred space, to teach children, to teach family, and to live out that faith journey with one another in a family or whoever's living in that home. How else could we use it? How about shelter? Is it going to be hot or cold coming up? Cold, all right. So if it's one of those nice cold days, it's a nice place for people to warm up, right? How else might we use a home? Any other ideas? For food, for cooking, for preparing meals, and for helping in that way, right? So let's transition now to TV. There's a hard one. How can you use a TV as good stewards for God's goodness? Turn it off. there's some wisdom to that. How else could we use it as a steward? Yes, Joe. Family shows. Watch things that have some wholesome values to it and things like that. I know a lot of times PBS has a lot of educational shows and things like that. We could use it for that purpose, right? How about the choir? What could we use a TV as good steward for? Keep up on gossip? We'll keep that on the not-to-do list. I don't know. How could we use a TV as a good steward for things? Here at church, possibly, to see lyrics and to see announcements for things like the choir. There are churches all over that use TVs as means of making sure that everyone can see and things like that in larger sanctuaries. How else might we be able to use a TV as a steward? To spread news, to share what's going on in the world. Imagine before when you had to wait weeks to hear any news from anywhere outside of your own space of living, right? Now we get to get more information. Is that always a good thing? No. But in many ways, it is helpful, isn't it? In many ways, it's helpful. Let's take one more up here. Let's see. Let's take quilting machine. How might you use a quilting machine as a steward of God? To make nice quilts. To make decorations, right? How else? Sharing with others, with the library, with their silent auction, those who are without warmth. Ever cover yourself up with a nice quilt? Oh, is there any better feeling? I'm sure there is, but it's a pretty good feeling, right? It's warm, it's cozy, and it reminds us in many ways of the love that we receive from God and from others, right? Helen, is that it? Is that it? Helen's is bigger. So what I want you to do, and we're not going to go through everyone's list today. What we're going to do, though, is I'm going to ask you to take this green sheet home with you, because what we want to talk about today is how not just being stewards of money, but being stewards of everything God entrusts to us. Homes, TVs, kitchen appliances, computers, cars, phones, quilting machines, and how we can take those items and use them for God's goodness. So take your three things on the front of your list. If you want to be a good, an extra credit student, go ahead and add four or five. But take those top three things and imagine how you could use them as a good steward for God, for goodness. Not how others could use them, but how you can use them. Maybe you don't have a spare bedroom in your home. Maybe you have four of them. Maybe you don't have a lot of kitchen appliances, but maybe you have a lot and you love to cook. How could you use that for stewardship, for God's goodness? So think about that today as we get ready to celebrate all that God has entrusted to us and all the things God has done for us, will do, and has done. And now let's take time to be in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the many gifts you have entrusted to us. The things that we see and use every day but may not think a lot about. Help us to use them as good stewards for your goodness. May we touch the lives of those around us with the things that we own. And may your world be better for it. Amen.